Have your Bibles, let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's Word. This will be our last sermon on Revelation. We'll start reading in verse 5. When you get there, say amen. You ain't there, say, hold on, preacher. Look at verse 5, Revelation 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Amen. We could stop right there and shout it out. Amen. Amen. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonian, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopolis, the 11th jephthah, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22. I got just a few more verses. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, and I ask your hand to be upon us. God, we realize once again, God, we're blessed just by reading this tonight and by hearing this tonight, God, and God sitting under this tonight. Lord, your word says we'll be blessed by that, God. Have your way right now. Help us to, Lord, as we try to preach this last sermon on the book of Revelation. Lord, I pray, God, you just move me out of the way, God. God, my thoughts, my mouth, God, and I pray, God, you just help somebody to be blessed tonight, and whatever's done, we'll praise you and we'll honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on it. If I was going to title it, it'd be this: Some Call It Heaven, But We Call It Home. Amen. Hey. Amen. Listen, if you listen to a lot of folks, I could ask the question, how many is ready to go to heaven? And we'd raise our hand. Now, this is kind of funny, but it's the truth. If we're that ready to go to heaven, why in the world we call everybody, y'all pray for me, I'm sick. I mean, you know, why do we do it? I mean, we'll go to the doctors. We'll do everything we can. I mean, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go right now. Amen. So y'all better shake y'all head. Amen. If there's another bus going in the afternoon, I'll take that one. Amen. I read a story. And back in the 1500s, a man named Philip Melanchthon got sick and grew near to death. And one of his best friends was Martin Luther. And we all know who Martin Luther was for the Reformation period. And Martin Luther came to pray for him. And this is basically what the man said. Luther, leave me alone. Let me go in peace. But Martin Luther wouldn't, he said, because he just kept praying, and he kept asking, why are you continuing to pray for me? Why I want to go? And Martin Luther basically told him, said, we cannot, I'm not going to quit praying because we need you. So he kept praying, and several times he asked Martin Luther, don't pray for me. I'm ready to go. I want to go. But Martin Luther kept praying. Well, the man got better. He got better, and he went out and actually did a great work for God even after he was sick. See, that man was ready to go. Very few of us have that kind of determination. I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Donald. If I get sick today, I'm going to the emergency room. Amen. I just don't believe my mansion's ready. Amen. But do we really call it home? You know, you think about it, do we really call it home? When you start thinking about this city, when you start thinking about heaven, let's look at the gates. In verse chapter 21, and we covered the gates of the city. One of the things about the gates is that, number one, it tells who can enter and who can't enter. Think about this now. The verse 6 and 7, who the gates permits. These gates, those that are taking the water of life, those that are overcomers, those that have their names written in the Lamb's book of life, amen, that's the ones that can go, amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, you can't. There is only one way to get to heaven. Jesus is that gate. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to this, verse 3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, which are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Jesus is the gate. Jesus said, he is the door. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the one that says yes or no. Think about that. Now, I know we've got to accept it, and I know we've got to accept the sacrifice, but Jesus is the one that says you can go or not go. Amen. Now, let's look at who the gates prohibit. We know that everybody that's saved is going. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. Y'all look up at me real good. Everybody that is saved goes to heaven. Okay? I didn't say everybody that you think saved. Everybody that's saved goes to heaven, and everybody that lost goes to hell. I don't care what the family puts on Facebook when somebody dies. I heard a story here a while back, and I actually saw it on YouTube. And this guy said, I've been to church all my life, and I finally found a preacher that was honest. And it was a black preacher, and he was at this funeral, and this guy had passed away. This guy was a drug dealer. He was done all kind of illegal stuff. He'd just never been to church, never lived. And they said that, Brother Ralph, they said that when the preacher got up to preach, he stood there for a long time in silence, like he was praying to himself. And the preacher finally just blurted out, "We're going to address the elephant in the room. This man died and went to hell. Ain't no way in the world you can live like this guy did and go to heaven." Finally, an honest preacher. Let me tell you something. Saved people go to heaven, lost people go to hell, and there ain't no in between. And the Bible talks right here about it, some people just ain't going to go. If you've got a lifestyle characterized by what 21 verse 8 says, you will not go. All right, let's cover that. The fearful, those who allow the fear of the Lord or the fear to keep them from coming to Jesus. The unbelievers, those who refuse to believe and receive the gospel. The abominable, those who gave themselves up to vile, wicked lifestyles. Murderers, those who took the lives of others. And that's not talking about in war, that's talking about murderers. Whoremongers, those who gave themselves over to sexual perversion. Sorcerers, those who practice in magical arts. Sorcery comes from the word pharmacotus, it comes from the word, where we get our word pharmacy. Let me tell you something. It refers to anybody that creates the chemicals. It refers to anybody that takes the chemicals. In other words, those who are addicted and those who take have a lifestyle addicted to that, and that is their lifestyle, they cannot go. And it also goes into those that are practicing witchcraft. I don't care what color the witchcraft is, black or white, it's still sin. Amen. The Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. Amen? The Bible goes on and talks about idolaters, those who give themselves over to worship false gods or a false system of belief, all liars, those who do not practice the truth, cannot go to heaven. Now, if you're in that category, hey, we'll stop this service right now. You can come down and I'd rather pray with you about getting saved than to preach to you about getting saved. I've always, Brother Jerry, when I read chapter 21, verse Robert, Brother Robert, I've always thought, well, Lord, why in the world? You start off, we talk about heaven. We know that we've already had the great white throne judgment. Why in the world put that verse in there? We need to come to the realization, everybody don't go. Everybody don't go. Now that's the gates of the city, amen? Let's look at the glories of the city. You know, John covers who can go, and now John starts going into the glories. Let's look at this city's distinction. Every city and every town in America and across this world has to have electricity to light it, not this city. Glory to God, there ain't going to be no wires running down the streets of gold. There ain't going to be no light poles in heaven, amen. There ain't going to be no humming of a tower somewhere pumping electricity. Glory to God. Hey, I'm telling you right now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself is going to light that city, amen. John describes the city as being like a jasper stone. That a jasper stone basically is what you and I would look at it maybe as a diamond. It just sparkles. The city is going like a great diamond. It's going to refract and reflect God's power and God's image. Can you just imagine looking at the throne, Jackie, and the throne is so bright with Jesus, and over here there's a wall and there's diamonds, and over there there's a wall, and all that's just refracting the glory of God. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? The Bible talks about it's surrounded by a high wall. The Bible talks about there are 12 gates in the wall. Each gate is attended by, now as I read this, some scholars believe that each gate has one angel, Brother Ed. I'm not saying it's not. But to me, that Bible said that each gate, to me, said it had 12 angels. There could be 12 angels at every gate. Why do you need an angel at every gate? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't know. We know there ain't going to be nothing bad there. We know everything's going to be perfect there. Maybe those angels are there so to worship God. And when you walk through the gate, glory to God, you'll see them worshiping God. They might be there just to get us in the spirit. I wish we had some members at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church that would stand back at the door and worship God and get everybody into the right spirit when we come into God's house. Amen. I wish we had that somebody standing on the outside worshiping God and get that when you got out the car, you hear somebody shouting and praising God. Amen. I wish we had somebody like that. The walls of this city has 12 foundations. They're named after the 12 apostles. Now let's look how big this city is, the city's dimension. The Bible says that an angel having a golden reed comes forth and measures the city. A reed was about 10 feet in length, so the measurement would take some time. But we're told this city is built like a square. Now, some people believe that it's a total square, or some people believe that it could be like a triangle, like a pyramid. We don't know. I had somebody rebuke me one time, Brother Robert. I preached that I believed that it was kind of like a pyramid, Brother Barry. Somebody, another preacher rebuked me, said that it can't be. I said, how do you figure? He said, that wouldn't hold up. I said, you're talking about the God that walked on water. My God, if he wanted to build it upside down and let us walk upside down, he'd do it that way if he wanted to. He's God, amen. So I don't understand everything, but I know that the Bible says that the width, the breadth and length and all of this is 1,400 miles long. We know that. Now, it's bigger than what you think. So if you take one edge of the city and place it on the Atlantic Ocean, the opposite side would be somewhere around Denver, Colorado. If you put one edge at the Canadian border, the other edge would be somewhere around Miami, Florida. And you thought it was going to be just a little old town. I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it. I tried to find this today. Somebody had figured up if it was as big as what they said, and it is, how big would your mansion be? Massive. Massive. Now imagine a city where there's room enough for everybody. You know, it's amazing to me that when you read the Bible says that hell enlarges itself every day. But for 2,000 years, that this city dimension hadn't changed.
What about that?
Think about that. People just going off into eternity. Amen. Now, understand something. Bible talks about this wall. The wall was measured at 144 cubits. That's 216 feet thick. I remember preaching this one time, and I talked about how, can you imagine when you get there walking through that gate, Jackie? Yeah, that, and I'll get into it. That gate of pearls there, and that gate opens up, and you walking through that. That gate is 216 foot, or the wall is 216 foot thick, and you can walk, and all these precious stones that I named a while ago as I was reading, you'll walk by. I ain't never seen that kind of stones in my life. I did get to go to England one time, and I got to see the crown jewels, and there was a diamond over there. It was the biggest diamond I've ever seen in my life. Oh, let me tell you something. That ain't going to be nothing in heaven. I'm talking about a city so spectacular, we can't even think about it. The walls. Now let's look at the city's design. The next few verses at 18 through 21, John describes the material used to construct the city. He tells us that the wall is made of diamond. The city is made of pure, transparent gold. Now let me just go ahead and tell you all this. He talks about all the stones in the wall. A jasper is more like a diamond to what we would think of a diamond. Sapphire is clear blue. Chaldone is a yellowish, kind of greenish. Emerald, we know what an emerald is, real deep green. Sardone is white with layers of red in it. Sardis is fiery red. Chrysolite is golden yellow. Beryl is kind of a sea green. Topaz is a kind of a yellowish. Chrysolite is kind of a golden green. Jasphinus is violet. Amethyst is purple. And all this When we start talking about all this, if we ain't careful, we'll get carried away, Grant. We're talking about the stones and talking about the pure gold and talking about all the gates of pearl. All that's there for one reason, to show glory back to Jesus. Heaven ain't going to be about the city. It's going to be about the one ruling the city. Amen. But glory to God, it's going to be good. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. It's going to be good. Now, the Bible says that the 12 gates are made of one pearl. What an oyster. I preached on this several years ago, but I'm going to give you a real quick lesson on oysters. The pearl, as you know, is formed out of pain. An oyster gets a little grain of sand in there, and it irritates that oyster, and it starts producing calcium to cover that. And as the oyster, the more pain it puts the calcium there, and that's what makes a pearl. The pearl is the only gemstone made by a living organism. These gates are there to remind us that although heaven is free, it wasn't cheap. Heaven was paid for by a living organism, and his name was Jesus. And heaven was paid for by the pain that Jesus Christ suffered on that cross so that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell. Amen? So I believe every time, Brother Ed, when we walk through that gate or we see that pearl, we're going to think about, and I know we ain't going to think, listen, it's hard for us to imagine how heaven's going to be, but I believe there'll be something there. Because I believe the Bible says that when we see Jesus, he'll have the scars that were there. The only scars in heaven are the one that's made on Jesus. So when we get that, I believe we'll understand about the pain and the suffering and what it costs for us to be there. I believe every time, let me tell you something, every time you lay eyes on Jesus, you'll think about what it costs for you to be there. Every time you go to that gate, you'll think about what it costs for you to be there. And it costs Jesus everything. The gates of the city, the glories of the city. Let's look at the guarantees of the city. When we arrive in heaven, now listen, our relationships will be altered. Okay? There's going to be a new interaction with God. We come down here, the only way we can worship down here, we worship in church buildings. Some people worship in temples and things like that. But we worship in a church building. We come in and we're in the flesh. We come in, we get on an altar. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, our mediator, our advocate. But the Bible says, and I read it to you a while ago, when we get there, Brother Donald Boone, we're going to see him face to face. You know what? God's here right now. Because he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. So he's here right now, but you can't see him. You can feel him. Praise God, I've already felt him. Amen. You can feel him, but you can't see him. But one day, one day you're going to see things that Moses wasn't even able to look at in the wilderness. The Bible says that Moses prays, Lord, let me see your face. And he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock and walked by, and Moses got to see the hind end of him. I'm telling you right now, one of these days, we'll see him face to face, glory to God. Revelation 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Glory to God. Can you imagine how good it is down here? We know how good it is down here when we have the Holy Spirit moving through a building, when somebody's singing or the preaching or whatever, and the Holy Spirit's moving through the building. That's only one part of the Godhead. Can you imagine being at the throne, Taylor, and then you got God the Father, and you got God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost all in one time? You ain't going to be able to contain yourself. Some of you folks that don't ever say amen, you'll say amen then. Some of y'all sit around here like a bump on a pickle. You won't be that way. You'll be running up down the streets of gold. Amen. Y'all might as well go and get used to it. Y'all ought to practice it a little bit right now. It's going to be good. There's going to be a new intimacy. Amen. The Bible says we'll know as we're known. I believe when I get to heaven, I'll know Brother Robert Lloyd as Brother Robert. I'll know Skip. I'll know Jackie. They'll know me. There won't be no marriage and giving in marriage in heaven, and we understand that. But the Bible says we'll know as we're known. We have a perfect relationship with everybody and with God. Amen? There's going to be new realities in heaven. Now, understand something. Heaven, as I've been preaching about tonight, is the city. There'll be a new earth and a new heaven. Why do you have gates? We'll be able to come in and go out. I read that to you. Amen? Most scholars believe, and I believe, that the earth will be set up as a perfect place just like Adam and Eve had at the Garden of Eden. Amen? That's the realization. That's the reality. Everything's going to be made over. Amen? We'll be able to go in and out. We look at the grandeur of the city. In chapter 21, verse 1 through 5, talks about a river, a pure crystal river flowing from God's throne. The water of life flowing from God's throne. Why do we need the water of life flowing from God's throne? Because that's where Jesus sits. Jesus said, I am the water of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hey, it's going to all flow through Jesus. Even when we get to eternity, everything is going to flow through Jesus. The Bible talks about the tree of life is going to be there. In New Jerusalem, I believe it's going to be it could be the same tree of life that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned, the tree of life was removed from preventing them. I never thought about it like this. When Adam and Eve sinned, the tree of life was taken, Brother Ralph, out of the garden. They were taken away so that they would not eat of it and live in their sinful nature for eternity. Ain't God merciful? I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of us are just stupid enough to do something like that. But God, in all his mercy, made a way that when we get there, the tree of life's going to be there. Now, we're told that the tree of life is going to be used for the healing of the nations. I read that to you. Now, this does not mean that people will get sick in heaven. As we saw in Revelation 21, verse 4, sickness and disease and all that's banished from heaven. The word translated healing right there is where we get our word therapeutic. It basically means to service rendered one another. In other words, the leaves of the tree are there to serve and enhance our eternal life to make it better and better and better. Ain't going to be no sickness. Ain't going to be no need for healing as far as what we think about healing. The Bible says in chapter 22, verse 3, that the curse is removed. There's going to be no weeds, no thorns, no sweat. Glory to God. Somebody ought to shout right there. The curse is being removed. And we know, we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we know where the curse is. Chapter verse 5 says night's going to be banished. Won't be no more night. Won't be no need of a candle. It's going to be a great place, folks. I want you to stand and bow your heads.